Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Reza Zulkarni dan ini Niaga Awal ini. Kita mulakan dengan sedikit pasaran saham Asia dan kemudian pasaran saham di Amerika. Saham di pasaran Asia meningkat dalam dagangan awal dengan pelabur mengenepikan risiko dan menyambut baik pasaran yang tinggi sehingga kini. Sementara itu, terdahulu saham di Amerika mencatatkan kejatuhan selari dengan pasaran dunia namun masih kekal tinggi pada akhir November. Ini dengan prospek pemulihan ekonomi disokong vaksin pada tahun depan dan juga jangkaan rangsangan lebih besar daripada Bank Pusat. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones jatuh 271 mata kepada 29,600 mata. S&P 500 jatuh 16 mata dan juga Nasdaq jatuh 7 mata. Menurut AMP Capital yang dipetik Reuters, peningkatan pasaran saham pada November telah berikan tekanan kepada aset selamat termasuk bond. Secara amnya, pasaran Amerika naik 12%, Perancis dan Itali naik lebih 20% dan juga Nikkei naik 15% pada November. Pada Isnin, aktiviti perkilangan China melangkaui unjuran untuk November dan juga Bank Pusat China turut umum pinjaman kos rendah. Harga minyak mentah catatkan sedikit kejatuhan selepas pelabur ambil pendekatan berhati-hati menjelang keputusan sama ada OPEC akan teruskan pemotongan tahun depan. OPEC menangguhkan mesyuarat kepada Khamis. Dan kes jangkitan mingguan COVID-19 global catat penurunan buat pertama kalinya sejak September. Pertubuhan Kesihatan Sedunia, WHO, yakin penurunan itu susulan kawalan lebih ketat yang dilaksanakan di Eropah yang paling teruk terjejas akibat virus itu.
Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus bagaimanapun beri amaran angka kematian masih menunjukkan peningkatan.
Last week saw the first decline in newly reported cases globally since September, due to a decrease in cases in Europe, thanks to the effectiveness of difficult but necessary measures put in place in recent weeks. This is welcome news, but it must be interpreted with extreme caution. Gains can easily be lost, and there was still an increase in cases in most other regions of the world, and an increase in deaths. This is no time for complacency, especially with holiday season approaching in many cultures and countries.
Dr. Tedros juga beri peringatan berhubung sambutan musim perayaan termasuk Christmas. Beliau tegaskan situasi terkini menyebabkan penduduk dunia perlu mengubah kaedah sambutan.
Dan China sekali lagi menggesa Amerika memberikan layanan yang adil kepada syarikat China di negara itu. Menurut jurucakap Kementerian Luar China, ia ingin Amerika mewujudkan suasana perniagaan yang tidak mendiskriminasi dan juga tidak menyekat. Tegasnya, pihak berkuasa Amerika telah mengganggu kapal dan juga anak kapal China untuk memastikan mereka bukan ahli Parti Komunis China. Sebelum ini, China Daily lapor pihak berkuasa Amerika memeriksa lebih 20 kapal syarikat milik Costco Shipping dan juga Shanghai Shenhua Heavy Industries untuk memeriksa anak kapal dalam masa yang sama. Ia juga susulan laporan pentadbiran Trump ingin kenakan sekatan ke atas pengeluar chip China, SMIC dan juga syarikat minyak China Sinopec. Tegasnya, ini adalah provokasi politik yang serius dan jika ia diteruskan, China akan ambil tindak balas. Tiada tanda sebarang perjanjian dicapai antara EU dan UK berkenaan perjanjian dagangan selepas Brexit. Perunding EU Michel Barnier dilaporkan tidak memberikan sebarang komen selepas pertemuan dengan perunding UK David Frost di London. Reuters lapor perjanjian dagangan ini akan menguruskan dagangan UK dan EU yang bernilai $1 trillion. Kedua pihak kini masih cuba untuk elak UK daripada ataupun keluar daripada EU tanpa sebarang perjanjian. Ini termasuk isu seperti hak perikanan yang UK ingin terus kawal. EU tidak mahu itu berlaku dan ingin terus menangkap ikan di perairan UK. Ketika ini, perbincangan berkenaan telah melebihi tempoh yang ditetapkan sebelum ini pada pertengahan November untuk ia diluluskan oleh penggubal undang-undang pada akhir tahun ini. Dan sementara itu, Chancellor Jerman Angela Merkel sifatkan Kesatuan Eropah dan Britain bakal beri contoh tidak baik jika gagal capai persetujuan mengenai perdagangan.
Kenyataan dibuat Merkel ketika rundingan pusingan baru yang bermula pada Sabtu masih berdepan jalan buntu.
Wir sind immerhin Länder, die ja auf den gleichen Werten beruhen, Großbritannien und die Mitgliedstaaten der Europäischen Union. Und es wäre eigentlich kein gutes Beispiel für die Welt, wenn wir es nicht schaffen, zum Schluss einen Vertrag zu schmieden. Es wird jetzt der Ruf nach Contingency Measures immer lauter von einzelnen Mitgliedstaaten. Ich würde damit so lange, wie es irgend geht, warten, sondern wir sollten alle Kraft auf die letzte Etappe der Verhandlungen lenken.
United Kingdom meninggalkan EU awal tahun ini, namun ia kekal dalam blok ekonomi sebelum proses peralihan secara rasmi. Kedua-dua pihak masih runding terma untuk perjanjian perdagangan bebas yang dijadual berkuat kuasa tahun depan. Sekiranya tiada konsensus dicapai, ia bakal menyaksikan pelaksanaan tarif dan pelbagai sekatan lain terhadap hubungan dagang dua hala.
Dan gergasi peruncitan UK Arcadia Group yang memiliki pelbagai jenama termasuk Topshop dan juga Miss Selfridges kini diletakkan di bawah perlindungan Muflis. Ini dijangka akan berikan kesan kepada 13,000 pekerja syarikat tersebut. Namun sehingga kini tiada pekerja diberhentikan dan operasi komersial diteruskan. Proses perlindungan Muflis itu akan diuruskan Deloitte. Perlindungan Muflis akan melindungi Arcadia daripada pemberi hutang sementara menunggu pembeli yang ingin membeli sebahagian atau kesemua jenama syarikat tersebut. Perkembangan Arcadia Group dilaporkan sebagai korban ekonomi terbesar akibat penularan COVID-19 di UK. Syarikat lain yang turut terkesan sebelum ini termasuk Debenhams, Edinburgh, Woolen Mill dan juga Oasis Warehouse. Dan kita akan beri berehat seketika kembali selepas ini. Dan bertemu kembali semalam, China umum indeks pembeli pengurus untuk sektor pembuatan PMI-nya meningkat kepada 52% pada November. Dalam masa yang sama, indeks untuk sektor bukan pembuatan termasuk perkhidmatan meningkat kepada 56.4%. Ini tentunya tanda aktiviti ekonomi kedua terbesar dunia itu semakin pulih dan juga mengukuh. Kita ingin melihat angka ini dan juga maknanya kepada ekonomi serantau dan global dan bagaimana ia akan tingkatkan pemulihan dan rancakkan kembali aktiviti ekonomi bersama Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Juwai IQI, Shan Said. Shan, is China's recovery sustainable? Can China lead the global economy despite the rising COVID-19 cases globally and various lockdowns globally?
Result, China is trying to lead the global economy. As you know, Europe is down, US is down, Japan is down, Asia is picking up. And China has shown the world leadership and the world economy that, you know, if you have effective lockdown, they can manage. And the way China and Chinese leadership have managed is simply remarkable. The whole world is looking towards China. And if you see, there is a leadership vacuum in the global economy. And China is trying to fill that vacuum. So I think China will be taking the lead, not only the year is ending, not only this year, but also for next year as well. And China is the growth story. So I think China will be leading, but it's a huge drag on the global economy for others. You know, because they are not picking up. So China has to pick most of the load.
So, Shan, after more than two quarters, what can we learn from China's COVID-19 economic recovery measures?
I think it boils down to leadership, the way Chinese leadership have done it effectively at the start of the year, just as locked down the country in January and February. And by May, the country was already having a trade surplus. So I think it boils down to leadership, how effective they are in controlling this virus, which is not very easy. So I think it boils down to leadership and plus the policy consistency that Chinese leadership has shown is simply worth watching.
And again, in November, we saw how production has continued to increase in China and the service sector is also recovering well. The business activity index of railway, aviation, telecommunications, broadcasting, television satellite transmission and financial industry services is above 60. Is there enough domestic demand in China to sustain this until 2021?
If you pick up Economist magazine that I've shared with you in your previous program, China is using dual circulation strategy. What they're doing is they're supporting the businesses and they're encouraging domestic demand. Chinese consumers hold $2.7 trillion in assets, which is more than the assets of UBS. So domestic demand is very strong. People are willing to travel. They are willing to take a vacation. So they are traveling inside the China. They are spending most of their money in luxury goods. The aggregate demand has picked up very strongly. If you recall, in one of my in your programs in June, I said China will be able to recover very fast by Q2. And now by Q3, they're having a growth rate of 4.9. And by year end, we are expecting China GDP touching almost 6%. So if you take the average, China is growing between 2 and 3% this year, which is not very great. But still, China is the only country that is leading from the front. So I think domestic demand and supporting businesses, giving confidence to local investors so that the economy can move forward. So I think that has been the key for the Chinese growth story.
Number 2 to 3% you mentioned earlier, is that enough to give China this leadership role to help the global economy to recover?
Not really. 2 to 3% is not China's growth story. China has been growing 10% since 1990 to 2010, but they have been slowing down. They have changed their business model. They are encouraging more and more domestic demand. They're supporting more of their businesses because, you see, 75% of the global economy is still locked down. Australia is out, UK is out, Japan, Europe, US, they are all out. So the only region that is growing is China and ASEAN. And why ASEAN? Because governments have been in total control of the economy. Yes, there have been some hiccups along the way in COVID, but overall the growth story is in Asia, and Asia is the future.
Speaking of growth story in Asia, World Bank in October expects global extreme poverty to rise in 2020 for the first time in over 20 years due to COVID-19. Now, China, with many other countries, including Malaysia, has signed the RCEP recently. Do you think this could help with reducing extreme poverty in Asia? What is the main strategy here?
The main strategy is trade. People want to have business. Nobody wants to fight. And while China has grown in the last 40 years, they have focused purely on trade. China is the only country that got 800 million people out of poverty in the last 35 years. Name a single country in Europe that has done that. So I think trade is name of the game. Plus, with RCEP coming, countries are trying to have regional blocs. This is where the survival of many countries are, especially countries like Japan and Australia, which are struggling economically speaking. But the growth story is Asia, China. If you're aligned with China, you are on the right track. Plus, there is a leadership vacuum. As I said, TPP failed, you know, because US was never interested to engage in TPP. So once TPP fails, countries are looking at other options. So I think China is providing that leadership role for many countries because it's a huge market, 2.2 billion people, $27 trillion of GDP, and this trade will generate $200 billion of trade annually. Yes, the poverty levels have gone up. 200 to 300 million people globally have gone into poverty. This will not reduce poverty overnight, but this will happen over a period of 2 to 3 years when people will start having trade and services with other countries and member countries. This bloc is the future, and many countries and many press and media globally are looking at this bloc very, very closely because game is trade. Trade is the name of the game, not wars.
And yesterday, Joe Biden announced his economic team, including former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, Neera Tanden as the budget director, Wally Adeyemo, and also Brian Deese. What do you make of this? And will this be enough to help U.S. Recover in 2021 or at least repair its relationship with China?
I think with Janet Yellen coming as a Treasury Secretary, it's a different ball game. This is not 2011 or 2012, where Janet Yellen was the helm of the Fed. Now it's 2020. The game has changed dramatically. I don't know how Janet Yellen will be able to cope. If you see this year, from 9th March till 11th May, Fed printed $2.3 trillion. And Fed will continue to do this. I would not be surprised if U.S. Fed goes into negative interest rate by Q4 next year. Seeing Janet Yellen coming into this picture with Joe Biden, I think it will not be an easy task because the economies are struggling. And U.S., the main challenge is confidence. And aggregate demand is very slow. So how you're going to pick up the economy, which is already struggling, to go into the growth mode is quite a difficult task at this point of time.
But what about that repairing the relationship with China? Does Joe Biden have what it takes to do that?
I think Joe Biden will continue to have a harsh stance with China, not as harsh as Trump used to have, but they will continue to have a very tense relationship with China, which is not good for the global economy. They need to have a smooth out of a relationship with China. They should come to the negotiating table and they should end trade war, which is not benefiting anyone. In fact, it is hurting the U.S. economy more than China.
Now, Sean, with more positive news about COVID-19 vaccines, will businesses, consumers prepare for a better 2021 or at least at the end or later part of 2020? Is it too early? What about the US, EU and UK? They are probably getting their vaccines approved very, very soon. How will this affect demand and recovery in these countries, the US, UK and EU?
It's all premature to say, yes, vaccine is coming in the market, people are very excited. But the challenge is how effective the vaccines will make, you know, the economies more productive, you know. How encouraging people will be to go back to the workplace, because most of the people in US, in Europe, or in UK, they are working from home. And to bring them back to offices is not easy because people, they don't have the confidence. And if you see the governments in Europe or UK and US, they have done a fairly poor job. And that's why people, they don't have the confidence. So once, yes, the vaccine is back, people are pretty excited. It is helping the market to get into a positive mode. People are quite optimistic. But how soon people will be willing to go back and be productive, that's a huge question mark for next year.
We're nearing the end of 2020 and some parts of Malaysia are still under the CMCO. Do you think this could affect the fourth quarter GDP numbers? Is this affecting consumer and business sentiment right now?
I would say partially, because consumers are still back. Christmas is coming and New Year coming. I have seen the market is witnessing increased number of people going shopping. The luxury car business is still very strong. I think partially is going to hurt, but overall, as you said, yes, fourth quarter GDP will be in a very slow growth mode.
But what about the real estate sector, the property sector?
Real estate sector, I can speak for myself at Joy IQI. We are still witnessing a very strong demand from those sophisticated and smart investors. But overall, I think the property market is pretty soft in Malaysia.
And what about what is the outlook for ringgit in 2021? You said 3.67 in yesterday's newspaper. Do you think appreciating ringgit is good, positive for Malaysia?
Not really, because appreciating ringgit is always a huge challenge for the central bank. If you see in June, the Thai central bank governor was really upset with appreciating baht. But with the premise is very simple. Why did I say that ringgit will be trading between 3.67? and 4.10 is based on the premise that US dollar will go down by 20%. Mm-hmm. Already this year, we have seen US dollar index is down by 14%. And ringgit has appreciated 8.55% since March 23rd. So based on that premise, I think ringgit will be between 3.67. The oil prices, the other factor that is going to benefit ringgit, will be trading between 50 and $65 per barrel. Already we have seen the supply constraints are coming, and geopolitical risk would be a huge impediment for in the oil market. So I think ringgit will show its structural maturity. Bank Negara has shown remarkable brinkmanship in maintaining structural stability in 2020, despite we have toughest environment globally speaking. But Bank Negara has done a good job in maintaining the stability of ringgit, not only in this year, but I think they will maintain the stability for ringgit next year as well.
And also, Sean, what's the outlook for dollar, for gold, oil prices? And do you think the world is prepared for more challenges in 2021?
I would say that 2021 will be more challenging. It will be tougher than 2020. It won't be easy. Dollar will go down by 20%. I'm very conservative over here. If you pick up Stephen Roche interview a month back, he said dollar might depreciate by 30% and 50%. That is huge. So I think conservatively speaking, I would say that dollar will go down by 20%. The challenge is that the confidence level is pretty low. There's a leadership change at the top. and political shenanigans would be a huge drag on U.S. dollar.
Thank you,
as far as oil is concerned, yes, oil has taken and has shown on 2nd September, I was invited by one of the top local banks, and I said oil will be trading between 45 and 55 this year. Already, oil is trading at 47. It touched 49 last week and has come back at 47 for next year. Oil will be trading between $50 and $65 per barrel. The premise is very simple. Geopolitical risk, U.S. dollar going down, and there will be supply constraint in the oil market. Coming to gold, yes, global investors have shown increased interest in gold because of a lot of hiccups in various asset classes. The equity markets have been very, very challenging. Yes, they have gone up recently. But I think gold will be having a great run in 2021. I expect gold prices to be trading between $2,500 and $3,000 per ounce next year.
Thank you very much, Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi GYIQI. Dan kita akan teruskan laporan seterusnya. Seterusnya, kenyataan berkenaan hasil kajian baru vaksin mRNA-1273 oleh Moderna adalah keputusan awal yang positif. Timbalan pengarah Institut Kajian Pembangunan dan juga Inovasi International Medical University IMU Profesor Dr. Azizi Ayub berkata, untuk mengetahui keberkesanan sebenar setiap vaksin itu perlu melalui tempoh 12 bulan dan keputusan Moderna itu disifatkan sebagai keputusan awal.
Agak menarik ya, daripada keputusan awal ini, di mana daripada 196 kes yang telah dikesan mempunyai mendapat COVID-19 kes ini, 185 kes adalah dipanggil sebagai placebo arm, manakala 11 kes adalah yang positif COVID-19 adalah yang menerima vaksin. Jadi daripada pengiraan statistical analysis ini menunjukkan keberkesanan atau dalam bahasa perubatannya kita panggil efficacy-nya sehingga 94%. Jadi ini kalau kita rujuk kepada kriteria yang telah ditetapkan oleh pihak WHO itu sendiri, rata-rata vaksin sebenarnya boleh diterima pakai dalam tempoh atau waktu pandemik ataupun di luar waktu pandemik sekurang-kurangnya mencapai 50% daripada kita panggil efficacy ataupun keberkesanan.
Dan Top Glove Corporation Berhad berkata pihaknya akan memberi kerjasama sepenuhnya kepada pihak berkuasa untuk landaikan lengkungan jangkitan ini susulan lanjutan PKPD ke atas asrama syarikat itu di Meru, Kelang. Pada Isnin, Menteri Kanan Kluster Keselamatan Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob mengumumkan PKPD yang dijadualkan tamat pada Isnin akan dilanjutkan sehingga 14 Disember. Top Glove berkata semua pekerja kilang di Meru sedang menjalani saringan COVID-19 secara besar-besaran. Dalam masa yang sama, kerja sanitasi di kilang-kilang juga sedang dijalankan sehingga Isnin. Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri lapor 5,805 ujian telah dilakukan ke atas pekerja Top Glove dan juga 3,406 dilaporkan positif. Dan sekian niaga awal ini dapatkan perkembangan terkini berkaitan COVID-19. Segala maklumat terdapat di laman web astroawani.com atau aplikasi Astro Awani. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani, berita segenap dimensi. Dan terima kasih kerana sudi bersama saluran berita paling dipercayai di Malaysia. Saya Rizal Zulkapli. Salam hormat.